健康、时尚、美食、出行，尽在衣食住行。
每周五晚9:30，请锁定 AM 1150西雅图中文电台。
各位听众朋友们，大家好，这里是西雅图中文电台《他说》节目，2021年的第一期，我是主持人静怡。关注美国华人女性自己的故事和精神世界，她们展现着当代华人女性的风采，激励着我们和时代的进步。她们跨越国家和地域的局限，彰显着中西方文化的交融，讲述她们的故事，传递她们的力量。本期和我们分享故事的是高静 ，The founder and CEO of Fly by Jean。Hey, Jean, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
This show aims to amplify the Asian woman's voice while sharing their unique story to inspire, motivate, and empower other Asian women. I'm very grateful that hearing your story and your talk at the Businesswoman Show, I think it's last summer in California. Your story demonstrates a way for an Asian woman immigrant to establish a business in the United States. To be honest, it brings me hope and energy. So I could not wait to hear more. Let's start by first, Jean. What drew you to the United States? And what drew you to launch Fly by Jean in the United States?
Yeah, this is a great question because I'm actually not American. I am a Chinese Canadian, but I was born in Chengdu and grew up moving around a lot, about once a year until I was in high school. And, I went to college in Canada and I'm, you know, Canadian citizen now. But in my 20s, I realized that I, you know, had become quite disconnected from my Chinese heritage. So I moved to China to kind of reconnect and rediscover what you know, my identity really is. And so I spent the last 10 years in Asia, in Beijing, in Singapore, in Shanghai. I moved there with a job in tech. But when I got there, I found that the thing that fascinated me the most was Chinese food culture. And I started to learn more about myself through learning about the food. And, you know, there's 5,000 years of history, and it's such a complex culinary history that I wanted to share it with people outside of China. I felt like there was very little known about Chinese food outside of China. And also there was active prejudice and false narratives that existed about Chinese food. And, you know, particularly, you know, in America, because of its history, you know, of prejudice towards Chinese immigrants going back all the way to the 1800s. And, but American media actually dictates a lot of global culture. And so even 10 years ago, when I was living in Beijing, I started writing about Chinese food for American publications like Food and Wine and Epicure and, you know, food and travel magazines and stuff like that. Because, you know, I just wanted to highlight or draw more attention to real Chinese food. And so that led to really interesting opportunities with like television work. When celebrity chefs would come to China, I would take them around. And it eventually led me to leaving my day job in tech, and I started a restaurant in Shanghai. And that restaurant was, you know, kind of marrying traditional regional Chinese cuisines with like a modern fast casual operational model. Mm-hmm. So something I was inspired by companies like Sweetgreen and Chipotle here in the U.S., and it was the first of its kind in Shanghai, and it did very, very well. But, you know, eventually I realized I didn't want to operate restaurants. I wanted to, you know, create products and tell stories and build a brand and, you know, affect even more people than I could with the restaurant. So that was the beginning of Fly by Jing, where I originally actually moved to Chengdu, and I studied with an incredible Sichuan chef there. And I just decided, like, I wanted to find my own voice in Chinese cuisine and, you know, contribute something that wasn't there before and, you know, hopefully pushes the conversation and the cuisine forward in a way. So I, you know, rooted my, so I started an underground supper club that did dining pop-ups in cities all over the world, in China and beyond, and everywhere. And, you know, my food was, you know, in many ways, I felt like me, myself. It was rooted in tradition, but it was also very modern, and it was made for the way that we eat and live today. So with that, I was able to see people's instant reactions when they tasted the food everywhere, whether it was the U.S., you know, New Zealand, Japan, Hong Kong. And I realized also that such a fundamental part of flavor is the ingredients that you put into it. And all of these ingredients that I was using, which I had spent many years sourcing and building relationships and finding the absolute high quality in China, you know, were rare even in China. So they were absolutely non-existent outside of China. So I had to bring them with me everywhere I went. And that was when I realized I wanted to make it more accessible for people to experience these incredible flavors, because, you know, great flavor is universal. And, but I wanted to make it easier. So that's how my sauce line and condiments line came about. And then I decided to start Fly Beijing. And when I started the company, it was really important for me to, you know, look at where I can make the highest impact on, you know, the way that people look at Chinese food as a whole. And indirectly, also the way they look at Chinese culture and Chinese people. And so I felt like it was really important to do it in the U.S. because, as I said, U.S. media does influence so much of that. And, you know, that's why I decided to launch a Kickstarter first, which ended up becoming really successful. It was the highest funded craft food project on Kickstarter. And then I made the move to Los Angeles, where I'm based now. And I've been here for 2 years.
That's amazing. It was very interesting to me when I browsed to our site. You mentioned as a condiment, but you also have your three values there. The first one is called power to empower. Mm-hmm. Is there any stories behind this?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I knew I would face when I launched Fly Beijing in the U.S. was resistance. I knew that, you know, there was so much, kind of negative sentiment towards Chinese cuisine, right, that has existed for over 100 years in this country.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, and a lot of this influences what people expect from Chinese food. For example, people expect Chinese food to be cheap and usually unhealthy or made with low quality ingredients. And that's something, you know, that I felt like, you know, we wanted to address with our product being completely all natural and, you know, sustainably sourced and, you know, try to be as transparent as possible with, you know, what we're creating. And, you know, but at the same time, you know, since I launched it, you still face a lot of criticism, right? Because people, you know, in this country, everybody has had Chinese food. Everybody has had Chinese food because it is probably the most popular cuisine in America, right? There's more Chinese restaurants than all of McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, everything combined. And so as a result, everybody feels like they have a connection to Chinese food or that they can have an opinion about it because they've experienced it in some way, right? So, you know, when we launched, there was a lot of like, oh, this is just expensive lao gan ma, or, oh, like, how dare you charge, you know, this much money for something that should be $2. you know? And it's like one of the things that we, I felt like, you know, we were constantly, you know, trying to defend what we were doing, right? And so in response to the price question, we would ask the person back to them, why do you think Chinese food should only cost $2? Like, what is it, right, that makes you think that? And so just to get people to think more deeply about where their ideas come from. And oftentimes those ideas are prescribed upon us by kind of the inequitable structures in society, right? And so I felt personally that this journey was very difficult because, you know, not only do we get, you know, a lot of our customers did understand what we were doing and were behind us and rooting for us. And, you know, that's why we have done as well as we have. And I'm very proud of the fact that we have moved culture forward. But also, you know, there was a lot of resistance from some. And then, you know, from everyone, from like investors, you know, investors telling me, you know, I don't think that Chinese food is ever going to become mainstream, or too niche, right? And so I felt like I was always having to defend my right to be here, right? Like to exist almost. And you know, the backstory here is that I used to go by the name Jenny. So Cao Jingxuan is my Chinese name, but I, at the age of 5, when I was living in like Germany, already at that time, I felt like I didn't belong and that like, you know, in order to assimilate, I needed to adopt some kind of Western name, right? So I chose this name Jenny, which I went by for 25 years, or more than that. And it, you know, I realized that, actually just last year that I had spent, you know, pretty much all my life really, you know, with kind of a facade. And the Jenny can be like a, you know, kind of like a metaphor for that facade. And, you know, a lot of what I was doing was answering, was like defending myself or like, kind of, you know, operating, in a way that others expect me to or something like that. And so I recently, last year, during COVID, I realized that and I decided finally to reclaim my birth name. So now I go by Jing again. And that was very liberating for me because it was, you know, finally I felt free to just, you know, be myself, speak my truth. And I felt like the brand also evolved along with me. And so when we came out with the rebrand, I told my very personal story and, you know, the mission of our brand became more and more clear, which is that we are here to provide, to create more space for more diversity in voices. Because so for so long, we've been told that there can only be one Chinese something, right? There can only be one Lao Gan Ma, then you cannot have another one. But even though we know in China, every family has their own version of chili oil at home, right? There's so much diversity and there needs to be more space for that, right? And that's the problem in our society right now in America is that there is not enough diversity. And so I think one of our jobs at Fly by Jing is to tell a highly specific story that also is universally relatable. And in order to inspire others to feel comfortable sharing their story, because we want to show that, you know, whether it's Chinese food or Asian food, like we're not just one monolith. There's so many layers and so many differences to be celebrated. So that is kind of where the power to empower comes from.
That's a really, really beautiful story, especially when you mention about the hierarchy of the taste. Mm-hmm. Where Chinese food being ranked. Mm-hmm. There is a quick example I can even share with you. For example, right now, if a few months back, like we had a, have someone had a birthday to celebrate. Everyone right now is stay at home. And then we were thinking about which restaurant should we order? None of us really even thinking about to order Chinese food. Because mm-hmm. we just feel like, yeah, we cannot find very high hierarchy Chinese restaurant, but mm-hmm. they do have a, I think it's a stereotype. To dispel the stereotype is so hard. One of the reasons, as you mentioned, is how many years it has been established. Then we might need more years and more strong force to dispel it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. So when you mention about your story about like defense and mm-hmm. acceptance, I have exactly the same feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like for my last few years as well. But I still can feel like your authenticity of the brand, the power to empower. Also, the second or the third values here I want to share with all the audience. The second one is the real. And the third one is the deep personal. So the real one is the ingredient. When I read in your story, Jing, I saw how much you have to develop like within the relationship with China, because you're trying to get everything from China. Could you please expand your story around that? How did you, because the entire food line is not simple at all, because everything right now is in China. You need to ship it here, and then there's a custom you need to pass, and then get into United States. Could you please expand more on that perspective, where you tried so hard and you worked very hard to just achieve the real?
Yes. So that value, you know, is kind of like everything we do at in our company is, you know, we strive to be transparent and authentic in what we are doing. And so we equate it to the way that we, like I think the way you do anything is like the way you do everything. So, we start with the product started with the ingredients, and so that's something we keep in mind in everything that we do. So when you mentioned the difficulties in sourcing ingredients and in kind of keeping the high standard for the product, I think, like I said, when I was doing the pop-ups in cities all over the world, I was packing these suitcases of ingredients with me, because I knew that they were unavailable. And, you know, the reason why they were unavailable was because A, people didn't know about it, and B, not only did they not know about it, they also had these views towards, you know, stuff that was coming from China, right? So, you know, if Chinese manufacturers were told that nobody wants to pay more than like, you know, a couple dollars for something, then of course they're not going to export anything of quality. So that's, you know, a lot of the reason why there was nothing of quality really outside of China for a very long time. And then being in China for so long and working in the food ecosystem, and, you know, my restaurant Baoism also was very careful and conscious about how we sourced ingredients, and, you know, making sure that customers knew where their food was coming from. I, as a result, had access to a lot of these suppliers and, you know, farms and farmers who were, you know, producing some of the absolute best quality ingredients. And I knew how rare they were even in China. So when I was, you know, working with that chef in Sichuan, I would see how meticulous he was about sourcing. He like makes sure to personally go every year to the Sichuan pepper harvest in August and, you know, collect the best quality. And, you know, I also learned to do the same. And it makes such a big difference, because also China is such a big country, and there's a lot of people who really know good food and, you know, and who will pay for the highest quality. So when you have, when you find these ingredients, it's usually like they're sold out almost immediately when they're available. And so even the normal people in China cannot access it. So there's no way that it would leave China and go international. So that's kind of, you know, what I've realized, but, and, you know, because it really makes all the difference in taste, I just knew inherently that if I was to stick with, you know, the highest quality stuff, the product would speak for itself. And that's why I think, you know, today Fly by Jing is different from any other brand on the market, because it was not made like any other brand on the market. We, you know, I have written about this, how difficult it was to uphold the highest standard of quality with ingredients and of technique. And I can see why most mass-produced products are lower in quality, because you, it is very easy to let your standards go for, you know, for cost reasons or for, you know, ease of production. And so, you know, for me, it was a struggle to get the co-packers that I was working with in Sifan to do things according to my standard. But, you know, in the end, you know, I think really sticking to my decisions pay off, because the end product is not like anything else on the market.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle. The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Chinese Radio Seattle.
现在是美国西部时间晚上十点整，这里是西雅图中文电台。
声声有情。
1150 AM 西雅图中文电台，
这里是您的信息中心，
这里是您的心灵港湾，
这里是您的精神家园，
西雅图华人自己的中文电台。
朋友们也可以在网上收听我们的节目，收听网址是 ChineseRadioSeattle.com，
也可以通过智能手机下载 Chinese Radio Seattle 或者西雅图中文电台 APP 来收听我们的节目。
我们的高清调频频道是 FM 98.9 Channel 3，
我们的微信平台、新浪微博和 Facebook 账号都是 Chinese Radio Seattle。
西雅图中文电台需要您的支持。如果您曾经听到过西雅图中文电台的节目，如果您曾经在西雅图中文电台网站或者微信平台上读到过我们的报道，如果您参加过中文电台举办的演出或者其他活动，请您支持我们。西雅图中文电台是由非营利组织西雅图华人广播协会支持的，大多数的主持人多年来义务为西雅图以及全球的华人提供精神食粮，请您向具有 501c3 免税资格的西雅图华人广播协会捐款，捐款的 PayPal 账号是 scbaseattle@gmail.com， 捐款电话206-619-8698 206-619-8698。西雅图中文电台感谢您的支持。
华盛顿州法律保护工人的权利。如果您的雇主否认您的工作权利，比如不能保障最低时薪、午餐时间和休息时间，以及安全健康的工作环境，那么州劳工和工业部可以为您提供帮助。如果您对自己的权利有疑问，请致电就近的 LNI 办公室，或者致电免费电话1-866-219-7321。
您是否想要知道自己当前是否有资格接种新冠疫苗？请访问 findyourphasewa.org 查询。如果被告知您已经有资格接种疫苗了，请访问华盛顿州卫生部网站 www.doh.wa.gov 查找就近的接种站点进行预约。州卫生部的目标是让每一个华盛顿州的居民尽早都接种到新冠疫苗。本广告由华盛顿州卫生部赞助播出。
Yeah, that's so true. I'm so happy everything worked out and right now we have Fly by Jing at home. As a customer, I can say that it's amazing. So next, we're going to really discuss about the sauces. So I ordered the triple threat, and there are three packages. And the first one is the Sichuan chili crisp, and second one is the Zhong sauce, and then the third one is mala spice mix. So I want to hear from you, Jane. Like, is there any story behind those three sauces?
Yeah, so all three products actually came about naturally from some of the dishes that I was making at my private dining concept. So I was cooking these kind of multi-course meals that, you know, usually would include some kind of like mapo tofu, some kind of some kind of dumpling dish, and some kind of like, you know, like a ladji or like some kind of chicken, or, you know, sometimes I used frog legs, sometimes I used cod tongue, like just all kinds of things that you might not expect, but with like the Sichuan ladzi flavor. And, you know, I was making these seasonings and sauces as like a flavor base within the dishes. And I would make them kind of in bulk in order to use for multiple dinners. And I realized that, you know, the chili sauce, which I was putting into my mapo tofu and a number of other dishes, was shelf stable because, you know, it was like preserved in oil. And the zhong sauce, which is inspired by one of my favorite snacks growing up, which was zhong shui jiao. It's a Chengdu street snack, which is kind of like a sweet, spicy, savory sauce. And, you know, that sauce as well was, you know, shelf stable. So I just started to experiment with bottling them and distributing it to my friends. And, you know, the response was great. So I started selling it online. I used to have a WeChat store in online and then sold it in some shops in Shanghai. And that's kind of how it started. And the mala spice mix was a blend that I made for my ladzi. And, yeah, so, these were, you know, basically inspired by these very, real kind of Chengdu flavors, but they're also adapted because it's like, you know, I've lived all over the world. I've, you know, there's definitely influences from, you know, international or Western cuisines, in my approach to Chinese food. But I think ultimately, you know, again, it goes back to the ingredients. It is very much rooted in true Sichuan flavors because the ingredients are so true to Sichuan. You really couldn't source and make, you know, this product in America. You just couldn't. You have everything, you know, there's 18 ingredients in this chili crisp. There's the Sichuan caiziyo, which is very unique to Sichuan. And often, I mean, you can't really get it in America. And it's something that's been used for thousands of years in Sichuan cooking, and it gives it a very unique flavor. There's the blend of different chilies that we use, which are sourced from Sichuan and Guizhou. And then there's like the fermented black bean that we use, which is sourced from one of the oldest doubanzhang factories in Pixian. And it's like some of the highest quality black bean I've ever tasted. And they're also not available in the U.S. And then the Sichuan pepper we use is actually the highest quality variety called Gongjiao, which used to be given as a tribute to the emperor. And it's only in a tiny little village called Qingxi that is like 4 hours drive from Chengdu. And, you know, it is one of those ingredients that is instantly sold out as soon as, you know, it's available every year. So these are the things that make up the product. So the product in some ways is more Sichuan than anything else, but at the same time, you know, I wanted to make sure that people can use it in their daily modern lives. And so we don't tell people that this sauce must be used for mapo tofu or must be used for Chinese food. You can do whatever you want with it. You can, you know, so our customers, they put it on their eggs in the morning, they put it on their avocado toast, they even put it on ice cream, you know, and you can really, you know, make it fit your own life, because we believe that the way to keep Chinese food and Chinese culture alive and thriving and evolving is by, you know, exposing more and more people to it. And, you know, if you try to keep it really tight, you know, to yourself, then that's when a food culture dies. So we want to keep it alive, but not only that, we want to push it forward.
Yeah, that's really beautiful said about how we should evolving the culture as well. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not just share with them like what you should do, also let them explore what they can do to make their life beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so right, because I also read a ton of loads about good reviews. One person really mentioned they used it on the ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So personally, what I did is I used the zhong sauce on dumpling, and mm-hmm. I also used zhong sauce on baozi as well. So mm-hmm. we just use that as a dip, and yes. then we eat them. But the chili sauce, actually, we put in our mini hot pot. It was amazing. For the mala spice mix, we put that one actually is in the barbecue.
Mm, yes.
Yes, so to marinate it, the meat, then we put that, and before we put it in the stove, it was amazing. So everyone might have their own stories right now with fly bashing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we actually are hoping to launch something soon where our community of you know, customers can share their, you know, dishes and inspirations and recipe ideas.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And everyone just share how they use fly baijing and what their story of fly baijing, and we can inspire each other how to use fly baijing.
Yeah.
Yeah, since like it's got launched in 2018, fly baijing, and right now is 2021. So I all know, like, in the whole year 2020, like, this pandemic may be the biggest challenge humanity has been seeing in the past few decades now. So, Jing, if I ask you to choose three words to describe your 2020, what those words are?
That's a great question. It's hard to fathom, you know, describing that this whole year in three words, because so much happened and there were so many ups and downs for so many people. For me in particular, 2020 had some of the lowest moments of, you know, my entrepreneurship journey so far, and it also had some of the highest moments. We had, like, you know, lots of supply chain issues, but we also had, you know, a New York Times feature that, you know, sold us out of, like, months and months of inventory overnight. So, I don't know. I think one of the words I would say is resilience, because for me, you know, I think entrepreneurship is a very difficult journey, no matter what you're doing. And when other, you know, people who are thinking of starting companies, you know, talk to me for advice, I always say that you have to make sure that this is what you need to do. You know, like, your soul is telling you you need to do this, because the journey is going to be so difficult that if you don't have that as your, you know, kind of guiding light, then, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult. So I think from day one, I've, you know, definitely, you know, last year was very challenging, but we've had challenges since the very beginning. And I think resilience is the thing that's kind of kept me going from the beginning. So that's, you know, and I've always found that, you know, things will work itself out if, you know, if you have real conviction in what you're doing and you just keep going, right? So it's like one foot in front of the other, and, you know, it will work out. So that's probably the number one word.
Mm-hmm.
Another one would probably be like something about like, maybe like rebirth. So for me, I reclaimed my birth name, which was really fundamental for me in kind of reclaiming my own voice. And I didn't realize this or even what I was missing for so long. My, you know, I'm 33 and I've been going by Jenny since I was 5. And what I really realized during COVID was just how much of myself I had hidden from the world, from even myself. And it wasn't until I really, you know, was at home for like a month plus, and this was like in April, when I realized how liberating it felt to not have to act like, you know, a version of somebody that I felt like people were expecting me to be all my life. And that I was actually more than okay with who I am and just as I am. And so, you know, reclaiming my name Jane felt like the necessary first step to really reconnect with who I was. And so it, in some ways, since then, you know, I've been continuing to connect with that and finding my voice and speaking my truth, and in a way that's not explaining myself to anyone, but rather just, you know, kind of unapologetic in who I actually am. So I think rebirth is probably one. And then I think maybe community. I think that's been something that I've realized has been more important to me now than ever. I'm very introverted, and I have lived my life, you know, growing up, I was moving around so much, right? And I think as like a coping mechanism, as a very young child, I learned to become very independent and, you know, resilient, as I said earlier. So I always acted kind of like a lone island in the world. Mm-hmm. I felt like I could do everything just by myself. I don't need anybody's help. And it was, I think it was a direct reaction to kind of the way I was brought up, and I'm an only child, and just the kind of life I've lived. And so I realized this past year that in my evolution of growth, what was important for me was to accept help from others and learn to kind of, you know, open myself up and for me, community and in all meanings of the word, whether it's family or friends, and even, you know, people you work with, your teams, like it's all so much more important to me now than I have allowed it to be before.
从2月9日开始，西雅图市政府将向西雅图的居民邮寄100美元的民主代金券。民主代金券只能用于支持2021年竞选西雅图市长、市议员以及其他公职的候选人。请致电206-727-8855了解更多资讯。我们提供语言协助。
新冠疫情期间，保持距离的意义已经不同以往了。现在，保持6英尺或者1.8米的距离，表示的是尊重、关怀，甚至是爱。为了您的家人、朋友、同事，还有您自己的健康，请保持6英尺的距离，以减缓新冠病毒的传播。这样，您就可以与您所爱的人保持联系的同时，降低风险。见面的时间要短，规模要小，请务必保持6英尺的距离，并戴上口罩。本广告由华盛顿州卫生部赞助播出。
Crossings TV、Comcast 有线电视、Xfinity 152台，为西雅图华人观众送上豪华中文电视节目大餐。东方新闻、凤凰卫视新闻、非诚勿扰、一站到底、芝麻开门，每天还有精彩电视剧和更多资讯和娱乐节目。请记得收看 Crossings TV、Comcast 有线电视、Xfinity 152台。查询详细节目信息，请访问 www.crossingstv.com.
By Jing, I was working on it by myself for the first 2 years, and it was very difficult, but I also, you know, at the time felt like I had no choice. I had to do everything myself. And I also was very particular about things. And I was like, you know, if you want it done right, you have to do it yourself. But with the growth, with the forced growth, you know, with the kind of forced acceleration that we had last year because we grew so quickly, I now, you know, went from having no employees as of August of 2020 to now having 7 employees full time. And it's been this incredible learning curve for me to become a leader and, you know, lead a team based on our vision and mission and really, you know, enabling and empowering the people on my team to be their best selves and, you know, come to work as their best full selves, to, you know, together reaching our goals. And so that's been a really, really essential kind of learning for me, and it's been essential for Fly By Jing to become the company that it's going to become. And, you know, our goal is to become the first household name that is, you know, that stands for high quality Chinese food. And so, you know, I need a team to do that. I know that I can't do that by myself. So community is definitely the third word.
Yeah, I really love your third word, community. That's how I felt as well. And the stability, I think it's in some way you move around a lot when you was little and then never really get to really feel stability. But the entire pandemic sort of like made us lock down. Everyone is on their own. And then all of a sudden you realized that's really true. Whatever I really need is a community and the people who really surrounded me. That is how I think that's probably going to be one of my words if I ask myself the same question.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, so I hear like you saying we might have another sauce coming of Fly By Jing. So I want to know what's the current focus and next plan and vision in 2021 of Fly By Jing?
Yeah, so we, you know, one analogy that I've heard from someone who, when I was trying to describe to them what Fly By Jing is doing, you know, we want to become a household name that represents quality Chinese food. You know, we want to come out with many different products. Someone said to me once, oh, so you're really the Glossier of Chinese food, and Sichuan Chili Crisp is the Boy Brow. So if you know Glossier, it's like, you know, a cosmetics company. They're one of the largest D2C cosmetics brands in the world, and they have this amazing product called Boy Brow. And it makes this analogy makes a lot of sense to me because, you know, the Boy Brow is kind of like the thing that establishes trust with their customers. And they know now that everything Glossier comes out with is going to be good. And so that's what we're, you know, aiming for. And, you know, we have started by introducing, you know, Americans to these flavor profiles that a lot of them might have never even had before, right? And introducing them to these flavors and these ingredients through our sauces and condiments, which you can easily, you know, put on anything. And then, you know, once that happens, we want to also introduce other foods, you know, maybe that make it easier for you to enjoy some of these flavors. So whether it's snacks or, you know, meals even. You know, this year we are hoping to launch a couple of really exciting new products. I can't reveal what they are now, but yeah, you can look out for it in the summer and towards the winter. And we also will continue to offer, you know, other products that are the highest quality of their kind. You know, so we currently have on our website a doubanjiang that is a 3-year aged doubanjiang, and it's one of the best quality in existence. And you know, if you make mapo tofu or, you know, even hot pot base, like you put that in, it's going to make a huge, huge difference. And we also sell the tribute pepper, which are the super high quality peppers that are, you know, reserved for the emperor. And we will continue to launch a few other pantry items that, you know, continue to build out the highest quality Chinese pantry you can have. And then, you know, we're also creating a lot more content this year, a lot more like cooking videos and so on, as well as continuing to build our community, of customers and users and just, you know, people who are interested in Chinese food. So we're really like trying to drive a cultural conversation as well as continuing to push, our core line of condiments online as well as entering retail. So this year we're going to be going into some natural grocery channels as well, so you can find it more conveniently, and then at the same time launch some exciting new products that are beyond just condiments.
That's amazing. As a customer of Fly by Jing, I'm so happy to hear we're going to have new flavor, we're going to have also the cooking videos. I really want to see how other people are doing it, how other people are using Fly by Jing. You inspire me to next time when we cook omelette, because we tried it. I'm going to take a video and I'm going to send it to you for our omelette. We use Fly by Jing. It's amazing. I'm really glad to hear like a lot of really new things coming as well, and especially the easy to access. Because right after we ordered Fly by Jing, I think in the December 2020, and right now it's not even a month. We need to get another one right now. So we just eat so fast. I encourage everyone to go ahead, give it a try. And then after you try it, I quote one of the person's online's review is saying, can't stop, won't stop. It's really true. You just can't stop and you won't stop. You want to do it on everything. The next thing I'm going to try is ice cream.
Yes, please do. I look forward to hearing what you think. Actually, in China, in McDonald's, they actually just launched Lagama on ice cream. So, yeah, but we did it 2 years ago. So I think McDonald's just copying us.
Cool. So it's like this show is the majority of the audience we're trying to serve is also Asian and Asian women.
Mm.
So the question I'm going to ask you, Jing, is how do you perceive your Asian identity, especially at the early stage when you're founding this company? And are there any other new realization in 2020 and early 2021?
Yeah, so I think my journey of like coming back to my name Jing has a lot to do with my own personal evolution and embracing my Chinese identity. I think even when I was in my 20s and I moved to China for the first time after growing up in the West, I knew that I was trying to reconnect with my roots, right? And I wanted to do so through food. And I because before that, I never felt like I was fully Chinese or fully Korean. I always felt like I didn't quite fit in. And so when I was in China, I was starting to kind of get a glimpse of what that could be. And I think with everything I've done in food for the last 10, 12 years has been with the purpose of getting closer to myself and finding out who that person is. And, you know, that's why it was so important for me to express something that was very personal with this sauce. You know, I didn't want to make something that already existed, and that's why we say, like, you know, this is deeply personal. This is something that even in Sichuan, my family eats the sauce, and they're like, oh, this tastes different, you know, because it's not something that has been put together like this before. And I think that, you know, the right to personal expression is something that we should all be able to have. And like, you know, it was so important for me to find that because I was desperately seeking it all my life, right? What is my personal expression? And I've managed to find it now through my products and through this brand. And, you know, so that leads me to, this year when, you know, 2020, when I finally really, found, you know, just comfort in being myself. And it had been so long that I, you know, really saw myself, you know, because like I said, I spent so long trying to justify my existence to so many people that I think it's going to take me some more time to continue to, you know, build a deeper relationship with myself. And, you know, I think especially for, you know, Chinese or Asian people who grow up, you know, in two or more different cultures, it's oftentimes we feel like we don't belong in either one. But what everyone, you know, what I hope that everyone, you know, can feel is completely themselves, just exactly as they are, right? That they don't need to necessarily fit into one or the other. And you can just, you know, create or define that identity for yourself. And so that's kind of where I am. I'm still a work in progress. I think, you know, reclaiming Jing is not the entire answer. It's only the beginning. And so every day I'm still, you know, getting closer to what that identity means to me. But ultimately, I think it's really just, yeah, embracing what makes you different and being, you know, being comfortable with it.
Yeah, what we are really good at is not being someone else, but being ourselves.
Yeah.
So before we close up, I'm going to have several fun burning questions asking you. So when you're ready, I can start. So first, if you are not the founder of Fly By Jing Now, what would you be?
Maybe a writer.
What is your favorite part of the job?
Communicating with customers.
And how do you relax and unwind?
I like to read and eat and drink with friends.
Good. Favorite film? Favorite movie?
That's a hard. I don't watch that many films anymore, but I really like To Live.
Ooh. What's your favorite Sichuan food?
Mapo tofu.
Thank you very much, Jing.
Thank you.
I'm gonna end this show by Jing's words. There is no roadmap to success when you are go down a path that hasn't been trained before. But when the vision is clear, you just keep trying even every door until one leads you a little bit closer. I am truly pumped by Jing's passion and conviction. You can even taste her passion and conviction in the thought. So audience, if you haven't tried yet, please don't hesitate to order it from Fly By Jing website. Let's share Jing's mission to share our Chinese flavors with the world and bring uncensored flavors created by Jing and created by Fly By Jing to the table. Thank you, Jing, for the great story, and see you all in the next episode.